In the 1990 movie Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts plays Vivian, a prostitute who is hired by Edward, a wealthy businessman. The movie is centered on the limited time they have together for the week that he is in Los Angeles on business. Contrary to what you might assume based on her job title, Vivian ends up spending much time at Edward's events, many of them work events, as his plus one. Over the course of their days together, she attends a polo match, the opera, a business lunch, and fancy dinners. And yet her life has not prepared her for such occasions. Enter Barney, the hotel manager, who understands that part of his job is to pay attention to the needs of his clientele, and he notices that she is likely to be anything but comfortable. And so he takes it upon himself to teach her which fork is used for what and other appropriate table manners for fancy occasions. He also lines her up with a personal shopper and a stylist, and by the time her training and preparation are done, she seems like she belongs at the tables to which she is invited. And yet, it is clear that both within herself as well as in the mind of at least one other character, the question remains, who is welcome at the table? See, so often we only find ourselves at tables with others who are like us. This is true whether it is at the lunchroom, in the school cafeteria, the family table, whether it's over a lunch hour, during the workday, or too often even at the communion table. And yet time and time again, we see Jesus share a table with those who are different from him, with those who are considered outsiders and unclean, with those with whom we might not ever even mix. To fully understand today's reading, it's important for us to note the context. If we had read back to the beginning of chapter 14, we would have had the scene set for us. Jesus and the others were at the home of a Pharisee, one of the Jewish leaders, for a Sabbath meal. The earlier verses in chapter 14 begin with Jesus healing on the Sabbath as they're entering the home. Then as they go in, he makes an observation about how people were choosing their seats. And he encourages them that it is always better to choose a lower place, one of less honor, and then to be invited to move up to a more honorable seat rather than having the host need to ask you to leave the seat you've chosen because someone more special has arrived. Next, Jesus turns in conversation to the host and encourages him to not only invite those who are like him, those who could, in fact, invite him to their home on the next Sabbath, but instead to invite people who cannot repay. So it's in this setting and context that the parable that we heard today is shared. So into the middle of this conversation about who is welcome at the table, Jesus says, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. We heard these earlier when Marcus read it. The first said, 'I've bought a piece of land.' The second had bought oxen. The third had just been married." He goes on saying, "So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to the slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room. Then the master said to the slave, go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. So while this conversation first focused on the meals that people prepare around the table, those that were around the table, the meals that they might be attending or hosting, here the parable shifts the focus to the meals and relationships into which they were invited. Because remember, the people dining with Jesus that day were the established religious people, the established religious leaders. They were the ones who largely thought they had things figured out. They were the ones who were concerned with doing things right and making sure everybody else was following the rules. And if we're honest, we are sometimes like them. We are too often the ones who think we have it all figured out. We are too often the ones who don't worry about whether there's a place at the table for us, because we're so often setting out the place cards. We are too often the ones who assume we are following the right rules and who, whether we like to admit it or not, too often are policing how others follow our rules. We good religious people, even those of us who claim again and again that everyone is welcome at the table, sometimes don't even realize when we're leaving folks out. And we sometimes don't even realize when we ourselves are opting out. It seems there are a couple important messages for us in today's parable. First, we hear that when the servant went to remind those who had been invited that it was time for the banquet, they all had better things to do. Those people were the insiders. They were us. And if we understand this parable to be about participating in the realm of God, then they were those who understood themselves to be faithful to God and yet whose priorities reflected something different. So this parable causes us to ask ourselves, in what ways are we invited to participate in God's realm but opt out by choosing other priorities? In what ways do we get so consumed with ourselves and our schedules, with our busyness and our accumulation, that we ignore the call of God? And this is about more than not being in worship on a Sunday here or there because of other commitments. This is about the ways in which we show up for God and for others moment after moment, every day of the week. In this parable, the ones who were first invited don't end up eating the meal. But let's be clear, this isn't punishment. Rather, this is a simple reality. And it's a reality because they opted out. They chose other priorities rather than showing up for God's feast. And that's an important conversation for us to have. It's important for us to learn to be honest about the ways that we choose ourselves over the other, the ways we choose the priorities of this world over the priorities of God. And this is a hard conversation, and one for which there are not many safe spaces. So, church, we are invited to engage the conversation, not in order to accuse one another, but in order to support each other as we strive daily to live in the ways of Jesus and to live from the heart of God. And then there's a second thing here we cannot miss, especially on this World Communion Sunday. When the ones who were originally invited didn't show up, that caused the host not to cancel the party, but to create a new guest list. And suddenly in that moment, people who had otherwise been kept from the table were moved to the position of being honored guests. Luke tells us that among those invited were the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, and beyond that, anyone and everyone who wanted to come in. And while it is the lack of original guests that seems to prompt the host's additional invitation, the reality is that those who were first invited didn't have to not show up for there to be room at the table for others. If we do a quick reading of the text, we might think that it's an either-or proposition. But if we pay attention, we notice something else, and it's those four little words that we usually read past in verse 22. After the host asks the servant to invite others, the servant replies, "It has been done, and there is still room." The table of God is abundantly large. There is always more room at God's table. So the good news is, whether you have opted out 100 times before or whether you have only now heard the invitation, you are welcome, and there will always be room. And even more than that, God wants a full table. On this World Communion Sunday, we celebrate that across differences that have divided us in so many ways and that likely will continue to do so, we can pause with the reality that there is room at God's table for everyone. And so today as we worship, we remember that God's children from Bangladesh to Brazil, from Nigeria to New Zealand, from Germany to Canada, and everywhere else are all welcome. Today as we worship, we remember that God's children who hold fast to traditions of old and those who love to shake things up with new ideas, those who have a more conservative understanding and those who are more progressive, they are all welcome. Today, as we worship, we remember that God's children who are straight and those who identify as LGBTQ, those who are single and those who are partnered, those who are old and those who are young, those who are typically abled and those who are differently abled, all are welcome. Today, we celebrate that at God's table, there is always room. The invitation is open, and we are encouraged to keep issuing it to others. We have been invited, but it's not just a table for those like us. Rather, we are instructed to keep on giving the invitation to those like us and those very different from us, to keep on giving the invitation to everyone, because the love of God is for all. And at God's table, there is still room. Amen.